What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 232 of Smark Out Moment Smack Talk. I am your host of the panel, Tony Mango. We got a small Tony panel for this week, because joining me on the microphone is only Drew White.
We're a two-man band.
He needs to bring that song back.
Ugh, I don't know. Wait, what's the Social Outcast theme? Do they have an actual theme, or do they just use each other's?
They have a theme, but I can't place it. It's like generic rock shit, I think.
So it's generic rock track 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be generic rock track 6.
I don't know. 5 was better.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I think
a little generic, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the generic Tron.
So before we get started, I want to preface this episode a little bit. Obviously, Wago, Kalen, and Peyton are all MIA for various reasons, work and such. Peyton was setting up his new computer for hours upon hours last night. I think he's pretty much passed out, half dead right now. Which means the original plan that I had for this episode of having a really widespread discussion about Ryback, it's going to be tamed down a little bit. Because it's two people that are supportive of Ryback, so you're not going to hear as much controversial shit. Same thing with the hot tags. Since there's only two of us, the opinions are not going to be as diverse as the intention originally was. And on top of that, since Peyton's not here to handle the Fantasy League stuff and hasn't updated some of the info yet, kind of flying blindly when it comes to that. So that section's going to be a little bit off as well. And on top of that, even, my allergies are bugging the shit out of me. I'm exhausted as all hell. Drew's still not feeling 100%. So yeah, if the energy's kind of low tonight, sorry guys.
Oh, this is going to be the greatest episode ever. You're underselling the shit out of this, Tony. Come on.
You know, if I undersell it and it ends up being great, then that's just a surprise. If I oversell it and people go, yeah, this was terrible, then it's like, we lose all credibility.
Surprise, guys. We got you. It's actually a good episode.
But if it is a bad one, we got the first round of the sexiest WWE Superstars tournament coming up this weekend. If you love listening to my voice, I've got the Captain America Civil War reviews to do. We're going to spend some time designing new t-shirts for Star Wars Day today. I got those up because it's May the 4th, so go buy t-shirts. Cut us some slack. You know, we got a lot of shit we're doing. That being said, though... Let's get into the first opening segment of the show, the Wrestling Trivia Questions of the Week, otherwise known as the Ask Him. And it's pretty simple if you don't know what the hell the Ask Him is. Questions, and you answer it, and you win stuff. By stuff, I mean nothing. Is that how it works? Let's see what we had for last week's set of questions, the Asked Him, as we are calling it now, which is still awkward as fuck to say. Can't get around that. They were China-related. And the question to the panel was, which of the following firsts about China is not true? Was she the first woman to compete in the Royal Rumble, the first woman to wrestle in a steel cage match, the first woman to compete in the King of the Ring tournament, and the first woman to win the Intercontinental Championship? Answer was, she was not the first woman to wrestle in a steel cage match. That was Victoria and Lita. And she did all the other three, so that's how it works. Question to the audience last week was, who did China wrestle in her first match on WWE television? And the answer to that one was that she had teamed up with X-Pac in a handicap match where they lost against Mark Henry, September 14th edition of Raw, 1998. So let's break down who says what here. Bobby Lesnar, G86, says, I have no idea. He also throws out some challenges for Silent Wind of Doom, that whole potential whatever the fuck that is still raging on. I suggest going into the comment section of last week's episode, reading it all, preferably in our caps lock voice that we've got going on now, because that's even better. So I'm not going to read them all out. What else we have here? Soros Ice Cream says, Kroner the Crusher. Or actually, he says it in all caps, so it should be Kroner the Crusher. Peter Piccinini says, I have no idea. I guess Molly Holly is coming to mind. Declan Macri says, I saw China's first appearance in WWF the other week, and she choked Marlena, so I'll just guess Marlena. Just a shot in the dark. Would have been a really good guess, and if I would have remembered the hell out of that, I would have guessed the same too, but totally don't remember China's first appearance. I'm going to have to go back and check that out. Dominator 39 says the Road Warriors 8-Ball and Skull. I remember it because it was the first Raw I saw when I was like 5 or 6. Now the Road Warriors 8-Ball and Skull match. Yeah, that still probably hasn't happened yet. Very interesting if that would end up actually being something that happened down the line, though. And Austin Piano Man says, Royal Rumble, I guess. By the way, my name's Steve Wago, and I like talking like this and can't wait to talk like this for the rest of my life. I love being on the podcast, and everyone here is my brother, including Miguel's eyebrows. I'm looking
Woo!
Forward to Drew winning Fantasy League and for Zack Ryder to win the WWE World Heavyweight Champion because he is the best wrestler of all time in my books because I'm Steve Wago. Obviously, it would have been better if Wago would have done that because it would have made
it was
sense.
Also, it would have been better as well if the person didn't say they were looking forward for Zack Ryder to win a world championship. Yeah, I mean, I think that was the big giveaway that was pointless and fucking retarded. So good job, person, whoever it was.
It was APM.
APM. Piano Man. What are you doing, Piano Man? Come on. Gotta be awesome.
What are you doing, Piano Man? There's your outro for the week. We ain't doing an outro either, probably. And Silent Wood of Doom says, I'm going to hazard a guess and say it was Val Venus. I don't remember the monkey's name, but I remember his catchphrase was, name hungry, name one, eat. Yeah, eventually, we were talking about Rugrats last week on the Askin, and it was Thorg. Thorg hungry, Thorg one, eat.
We were talking about Rugrats last week?
Yeah, for like a quick minute, because I was humming the Reptar theme.
No, I remember. That was loud. I'm sorry.
Silent Wood of Doom also says, wait, all that happened. None of those were responses, so I didn't know about this. Figures he's a masshole, though. Everyone knows people from up there are gutter trash. Also, no one knows the context of his comments because Tony was about to read my comment when Wago asked him about the Reptar theme. Fuck Lanny Poffo, fuck superstar Billy Graham, and fuck the WWE if the entire Shane angle ends Sunday and we go back to the status quo. Now that we know, a couple days later, that didn't end, did they still get the fuck? Is that what it
did? I don't think we're going to fuck WWE quite yet. There might be a few people in WWE we might like to fuck. But
There's definitely going to be a couple people like that, which, by the way, plug again, superstar tournament.
Oh, yeah, we're doing good with that.
Yeah. I actually did finger like guns right then when I did the poll.
So, wait, can you still vote on the polls, or is that done?
The polls will be shutting off sometime Thursday. We are actually right now that we're recording this. It's 10:17 p.m. Wednesday night, May the 4th. Be with you. I don't know exactly when I'm going to shut it off. We've got 160 something votes already, so that's like that's a good amount. I'm pretty sure that it's going to stay the same. I've been looking the past like 50 or so votes, and a lot of people are voting the same kind of way. It doesn't look like there's any like, whoa, this changed happened, because the first like 50 votes were all over the place. It was like big support from some of the fat guys, then out of nowhere they didn't, and then they come back again. Like some of the women were like Lillian Garcia, surprisingly, has not gotten a whole lot of votes recently.
Wow.
And she's right now, if everything stays the same, she's not going to be one of the three eliminated. So I'm really curious what's going to happen there, but you can still vote for at least a little bit. I'm either going to shut it off at noon or at midnight, more than likely midnight. And go ahead and do that now if you're listening to this and you haven't already. But let's get into this week's set of questions. And these were actually formulated by Wago, because I had asked somebody else to do it this week, because fuck it.
Fuck, so you're telling me I could go back and find it in our chat somewhere?
No, because he actually sent it to me separately.
Damn it.
But it's a pretty easy one. These are Ryback related.
Ooh,
so you should probably get this. Question to the panel, which is Drew. So question to Drew. How many Slammy Awards has Ryback won? I already know that I would have gotten this wrong if he would have asked this without me knowing the answer.
Okay. So, totally not looking at the Ryback Wikipedia page. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with three.
Five.
It's five. Fuck.
I would have guessed two or three.
I'm trying to...
He won Shocker of the Year in 2010 for the Nexus debut.
Okay. I knew that one was going to be one of them.
He won Trending Now in 2012. Mostly
Feed Me More.
2012 for, yeah, hashtag Feed Me More.
Which is stupid. It should have been the Yes or the Zack Ryder thing, right?
Yeah, it should have been the Yes Movement thing, I think. He also won for Feed Me More the Crowd Chant of the Year in 2012, which is basically the same thing, so a little weird. And he also won in 2012 Newcomer of the Year. Fat lot of good that did. And in 2014, he won Match of the Year for Team Cena versus Team Authority at Survivor Series.
I forgot that was... I was actually pissed off of that one Match of the Year. I know that the biggest, you know, like... That was probably the most important match of 2014, but come on.
It was also clearly Dolph Ziggler's win.
Yeah.
Like, didn't Ryback get eliminated, like, super quick?
Yeah, they,
He was, like, within, like, 2 minutes or something?
Well, it was 2 minutes of him getting in the ring, but it was something weird. I don't think he got disqualified, but they did... It was some bullshit tactic for him to get eliminated. I wouldn't have guessed the Match of the Year one, and the other one I wasn't thinking of, he won both the hashtag one and the crowd chant.
Cause I would have never remembered any of them.
The crowd chant, I just assumed that was the yes one. You think that would have been the yes chant in 2012.
Yeah. The question to the audience, though, again, Ryback related, what two championships has Ryback won during his wrestling career?
Oh, I know this one.
Uh-huh. Well, if you think you know the answer, or you want to take a guess, or you want to add some new people to the Fuck That Guy Club, or you want to call out Silent Wood of Doom, apparently, because that's something that's happening now, then you can leave a comment below on the YouTube description, or you can send us a tweet at SmartCountMoment with the hashtag AskHim. Next week, we'll run down whatever we're going to run down, and, you know, whatever happens with that. But we are going to continue on in part two with the hot tags of the week. Part three is going to be the rest hold, which has a little bit more energy for me at the very least because I recorded it yesterday. And then we're going to go into our main event of Superstar Scores Ryback in part four and whatever ends up happening with the Fantasy League in part five. So click on those parts, everybody, and we'll see you when you do that. Welcome back to part two of episode number 232. Lots of twos. And speaking of twos, we got the twoser here to your way. Since we are in part two, we are going to talk about the hot tags of the week. And if we run these down based off of rumors, news, stories, or interesting topics, actually quite a bit happened this week. And we're going to toss some things out there and give our opinions about whatever we need to say with these and run down a whole bunch of different things. I think I have like 11 things to talk about or something. So you're going to get quite a bit of hot tags this week. Let's start off with what I think is probably the biggest story and what we're going to get into a little bit later on too as well. Ryback was sent home and he's going to be kept off TV until they figure out what's going on with this contract dispute. Now, the reports are, of course, vague in certain ways, but from what I've been able to gather from different sources, different reports, you know, what Ryback blogged about, because he actually posted a blog about this, it seems like it's all, he's frustrated that WWE pays based off of the value that they assign to people, and knowing that it's something that's scripted, he's calling out, you know, it's kind of bullshit if wins and losses matter when they shouldn't matter. And somebody who does what they're told and they lose and whatever shouldn't be punished by any means just because they lose, because it's like they're not actually losing. They're just doing their job, performing and such. Cameron responded with a tweet saying, "Amen, brother," to this. Lots of reports saying that he's just going to be leaving in the summer. What do you think about this, Drew? Is Ryback in the right?
In a way, yes. Technically, it's all scripted. It's just, it should be valued on how important the character is for, you know, storytelling, what they have in plans for them, and merchandise sales, I guess. Was Mick Foley the one, like, a few months ago who was saying that wins and losses don't matter? Because there was a legend who was saying something, like, a few months ago.
Pretty much everybody sort of uses that as one of their good, like, go-tos. It's like, because wins and losses aren't the same as they are in, like, UFC or something like that. But it's like, I get Ryback's point of the idea of, yeah, but how often are you going to lose to the point where people don't support you, they don't buy your merch, you know, like...
Yeah. There is some validity to what he's saying. And in a way, I guess it should matter if wins and losses don't matter, and then it's just a matter how over your character is with the audience. I will say, though, that this is... Ryback's the only one who's saying this right now. I guess Cameron kind of agreed with him in a way, but no one else has really came out denying or confirming these claims other than that, really. So I think it's unfortunately, it might be a little bit too soon to report on this just because we don't know how true what he's saying is. I've always 100% believe everything Ryback said in the past, like with the CM Punk. I'm just saying, with like the CM Punk thing, he was on a number of podcasts telling how like people have always said that he's a safe worker and all of that stuff. So I've always had, and being the biggest Ryback fan in the world, I always back up the big man when I can, because I'm like the little guy, he's the big guy. So come on, we have to be brothers in this situation.
Little guy backing up the Ryback, big guy.
Exactly. So I don't know. It's just a weird situation. And it's not every day that they keep someone off TV because they can't agree with the contract. Usually they'll get as much as they can out of someone. My bad. They might get as much as they can out of someone and then just have them off and then just, you know, resign and move on. So I think it's a little weird that unless he just has his attitude is so terrible that him being around everyone is just detrimental, then maybe there is no point of having him there until they have this situation figured out.
I'm assuming he's speaking up for a lot of different people that are too worried to lose their job.
Ryback has also said that if he were to leave WWE, that's fine, that he has a lot of other passions, a lot of other things. So in a way, I'm, you know, good for him for sticking up for himself and talking about it. Because in the past, actually, I think a few weeks ago, I don't know if we were talking about this on the podcast, but Ryback has always been the guy that maybe he has never really stood up for himself in the past, because this guy should have been a world champion. This guy had dollar signs all over his face. He was the most over person at one point in 2012.
He definitely was. That whole Feed Me More, where he's fighting three people at a time and stuff, like, he was over as fuck then.
WWE fucked that up. So he has every right to be pissed off, if in my opinion. But I really don't know what to take of the whole situation until, you know, if Ryback leaves the company, then he finally lets out all of his dirty laundry. But, you know, if this is him finally sticking up for himself, because maybe he's a guy who's never really stood up for himself and said everything he needed to say in the past, and, you know, good for him. But, you know, it might be a little too late at this point.
And I'm curious if this was a thing where he said, you might as well just keep me off TV if you're not going to use me for anything. And then they said, fine. Or if he called out this whole thing and they sent him home. Because there's two different, it's kind of like the idea of, you can't fire me, I quit. Like, you know, like it depends on who's the instigator in that. Because Ryback did show up for the whole pre-show match with the pre-show stopper thing. And he cut that interview the other day where he was saying, you know, maybe I'll have to find somewhere else to get, you know, my due credit and all that. So clearly these issues have been going on for at least a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. He's on the pre-show of WrestleMania for the United States title, which is a secondary title. That should be on the main card just by itself. And if you had to leave a title off, you would have left the tag team titles. But if they had their whole situation and that wasn't for the tag team titles. So I really don't know why they have been treating Ryback so bad lately. But, you know, fuck it at this point. I feel bad for him. He was not on Raw between WrestleMania and Payback. So this had been something that's been building up ever since WrestleMania.
Yeah, the missing in action couple of weeks is another thing that's just very suspicious. Like, if this is, I know some people are going, oh, this is just BS, it's going to lead to him getting a big push or whatever like that. This ain't a work, I don't think.
No, this is definitely not a work. No one is this open about this unless they're on their way out of the company. I mean, this isn't CM Punk we're talking about here. I don't think Ryback has that much leeway like Punk did back in 2011.
Right.
So I feel bad for him. I really do, because I love the big guy. He's one of my favorites, and if he's gone, it's a damn shame. But, you know, WWE fucked that up so bad, so I really can't defend them in this instance.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, but right now it's looking like Ryback's probably going to be leaving soon, and from what I can gather, I'm on his side. So yeah. What else we have here? Shane McMahon Tell All podcast is going to be coming up next week, hosted by Mick Foley. The reason why it's not Austin is because he's got other shit to do, but we got a podcast hosted by Foley about Shane McMahon. What do you think about this? I'm up for it.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Mick Foley is having a series of podcasts on the network now, right? Is that one of the things he's doing, or is it just the reality show? Right?
I think it's just the Holy Foley show.
I thought that he was doing other stuff as well. But you know what? I have no problem with this. I think Mick Foley's an interesting guy, and Shane is definitely not boring by any means. But maybe this will be a way to let us know what he's been up to for the past few years while he's been out of the company. Maybe he'll go into some of the stuff that he's been working on since he's the last time he was on WWE TV.
I hope Foley kind of stays the same range as Austin of, like, let's ask some tough questions and not do the safe route.
So don't be Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because fuck Jericho's podcast on the network. Though, I will say the John Cena one's not too bad when it was just him and John Cena. But yeah. the Stephanie McMahon one, I couldn't get through. It was just...
I wasn't a big fan of that one either.
No.
Then again, I wasn't a big fan of Austin's with Paige.
Well, I don't know. Why did they do Paige?
I think that's because they were going to do Hogan. And then it was like, fuck, we can't do Hogan.
They should have just done it with The Miz then, since he took Hogan's spot on Tough Enough.
Hell, that probably would have been a better one.
It would have.
It would have been more entertaining at the very least. Paige was just kind of like, my family. Yeah, my family. Miz would have been like,
this is my podcast.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, did you check out Camp WWE yet?
No. Did you?
I watched it after Payback, and...
Hold on, Tony. Did you not do the post-show?
No. That's actually just a hologram of me doing it.
Oh, okay. That's cool, I guess.
It was a good hologram, though.
It was.
Yeah, it didn't hit as much as I was hoping that it would. But I wrote up a review about it on eWrestling News if people want to get a real in-depth kind of look about it. But
I do have a couple questions, though, Tony.
Shoot.
Is it as cringeworthy as I might think it is?
It's nowhere near as bad as Slam City.
Dude, I actually didn't care for Slam City that much.
I hated it.
I know you did, but it wasn't even that bad. There was a few couple good things on Slam City that I mildly enjoyed, but I don't know. Just for the idea of an adult, do they? So how adult is it? Do they cuss and stuff on it? I'm assuming.
Yeah, they curse, and there's a lot of like sexual content. Like, I mean, you've already seen the Ric Flair humping the Rock, not the Rock, but a Rock.
No. It was the Rock dressed up as a Rock.
Yeah, it might have been. That's a plot twist. Spoiler alert. But yeah, like they curse him, and they've got sex jokes and stuff like that, and so they nail the TVMA thing, which was a little bit surprising. But it's a little like just not my thing, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you like Adult Swim, you'll probably really love it.
If I like Robot Chicken, will I like it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, I like a lot of Robot Chicken things if they're based off of something that they're making fun of that I like. And if it's just something weird, I tend not to like it as much. So that's why I'm kind of like, I want to give this more episodes more than anything.
I kind of went the same route with the Edge and Christian show, because I remember that first episode was really not that good. But
that was terrible.
Yeah, it's picked up a lot since then. So I'll probably end up checking out Camp WWE tonight or tomorrow. And, you know, maybe I'll actually have an opinion on it then. But I really plan on just avoiding it at first, just because I thought WWE would screw it up, just because it's WWE in a PG environment. So they would use their idea of
TVMA, by which I mean we can say bitch.
I thought it would be, since Vince McMahon's in it, I thought it would just be a bunch of poop-based jokes.
Now, he's actually my favorite part.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my favorite joke of the whole thing, and this is not like a huge spoiler or anything like that. It's a fucking animated show. Who cares? Very beginning of the episode, like, you know, first scene or so, he's kind of upset about something, and he's like, I'm going to put on something to, like, block it out, like how you would put on, like, calming music. Yeah. One of the things he puts on is the Hindenburg disaster. So it's just all these people screaming and stuff, and he's just, like, getting all calm for that. I'm like, that's pretty fucking funny. But I don't like the voice acting for a lot of people. Like, it would have been better if the actual people would have done it. Like, Vince, you can tell it's Vince.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's having fun. And Ric Flair, same kind of thing. Sergeant Slaughter, same thing. But the little kid voice for John Cena is weird. The Big Show one's kind of funny because it's like this big oaf kind of thing.
It's a damn shame that they couldn't get John Cena to do this show.
Yeah, like if they could have just had his voice and they could have modulated it to make him sound younger like they do with South Park, that would have been so good. Like the Bella Twins are like, you know, they're just generic voices. Stephanie's a generic voice and all that. And R-Truth, like the voice actor for R-Truth sounds really familiar, but I can't place him. That's a little like lame. The Triple H one's kind of funny though, because he ends a lot of sentences with "ugh," so it's like, you know, like our next story is going to be about Tamina Snuka.
That sounds amazing.
So that's really cool. But I suggest everybody they go ahead and they check it out, but they keep in mind pilot episodes are always the worst. Like it might take a couple episodes for it to get into it, but. Undertaker being like this weird creepy emo kid goth kind of thing, like there's some potential. Stone Cold, I don't like Stone Cold yet on the show. We'll see. They haven't introduced The Rock yet. They haven't introduced I think that Hogan was supposed to be on one, but they probably took him out.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. Anybody who has the network, check it out. See what it is. Leave a comment below. Tell us what you think about that, too.
I have one thing to ask. If Hogan never got in trouble for the whole, you know, him being racist and said that racist stuff and that got him out of the company this time, do you think they would have made references to his sex tape on this?
Oh, probably. I mean, they would have had to at some point, right?
Yeah.
They might still do it.
Oh, we'll probably sue him at that point, but...
I don't think he would sue WWE because he wants his job back so bad. He'd probably be like, that's a good one, guys.
Oh, brother, you guys get me so good.
Yeah, you got me, brother. Let's see. Tamina, that's what one of the ones was. Tamina is injured. She just went under surgery for a torn ligament, so she's going to be out for a little bit. Another injury.
It's weird. I'm assuming it was at a house show because she definitely hasn't done anything on TV recently, but...
Yeah.
I kind of feel... We shit on Tamina a lot for a lot of reasons, but it sucks when you hear about someone getting injured because, you know, in some instances, it could lead to them losing their job. Though, and since especially with the last name Snuka, she doesn't have a lot in her advantage right now. So yeah. Hit her father... Is it her father?
Yeah.
Okay. Is, you know, kind of in... deep shit, but yeah, you know, hopefully quick, maybe John Cena will pass some luck onto her and she'll recover in like weeks or something stupid like that.
Might actually be the best thing for her to just kind of take a little bit of time off because they weren't doing anything with her. So, you know, get a little bit of a break, stay out of the, like,
was
sort
she
of, you know, the tornado of Natalia being able to beat people.
Was she always this big and menacing?
Tamina?
Yeah, because I remember back in 2012 when she was feuding with Beth Phoenix for the title. I'd never recalled her being like this monster thing they have for her now. So did she just gain muscle since then? Because Beth Phoenix was a pretty ripped person. So has she always been this big?
She's only been at least kind of big, but...
She's been tall. I know that. But... I honestly, because she was always doing the high flying stuff, so maybe I'm just remembering her being skinny. Maybe. But fuck, that was just something that was bothering me now for some reason.
Tamina. We have a bomb threat at Ring of Honor headquarters.
Yeah. Why,
dude? Fuck if I know, people are fucking crazy.
What? Who? The only thing that this would be better is if it was TNA.
Well, nobody can find their headquarters. It moves all the time.
I know, but just the idea of someone sitting a bomb threat to TNA, they would like start going crazy. They'll accidentally set a fire in their merchandise office and burn down their headquarters. That would be funny. But who cares about Ring of Honor? No one's cared about them since like 2012. So what have they been doing recently that pissed someone off this bad?
Probably just like, you didn't push the guy that I wanted you to push. I'm fucking taking it out on you guys because I really like whatever Briscoe or something.
Well, at least it wasn't some guy smearing shit all over their headquarters like that guy did.
That was funnier.
Yeah, that was funny. Weird shit, but it was funny.
Weird shit. They have Tessa Blanchard and Rachel Ellering, the daughters of Tully Blanchard and Paul Ellering, are now in NXT. They are haven't signed a deal yet, but they're popping up a little bit. Could be making that transition, sort of like what Peyton Royce and Billy Kay did, where you wrestle a couple times and then you eventually get that contract just sort of out of the blue. Do you check out anything with those two?
Nope, I didn't even know that those were actual people. So, if you give me a second, I will totally Google search their names. Oh, she's not bad looking.
Who, Tessa?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tessa's actually pretty damn hot.
And let's check out Rachel.
Rachel's not bad either.
Huh,
I don't
not
know about Rachel in the ring. I haven't had a chance to look at her match yet, but
bad. Oh, damn, Tessa's my age.
really?
Yeah, she's actually only a few months older than me. Huh, weird.
So that's nothing negative against her right there. That's in her favor. The younger you are, the more chances are that you'll get a contract in the future.
Yeah, but it's female. I think the standard for guys is you have to at least be 30. Because everyone's like 30 years old now going into the company.
Yeah,
But
but
yeah, she.
Tessa, she's got a good look to her. She's good in the ring. She had a match against, I think, Alexa Bliss on NXT recently. So, of course, I was looking at Alexa Bliss, but at the same time, Tessa did pretty well. Like, I'm pretty sure she'll get a contract. I haven't checked out Rachel yet, so.
This picture, the first picture shows up for Tessa. She has the what would it be? The Summer Rae like top on, where she has like that open area where her breasts are, where she has her bra on underneath it.
The Power Girl design, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the one thing I noticed. Like, oh, so she's going with the Summer Rae look on this one. Cool, interesting. But yeah, she. I mean, I'll have to check them out. Were they wrestling on NXT TV or was it just?
Yeah, the TV show.
Okay.
Well, they've probably done some of the other stuff too, but
I'm assuming that, but okay. Well, I guess I'll go check them out later,
the more
probably.
people that we get rid of and move up to the main roster, the more we're going to need to add some more people into the mix. So, why
That's true.
not? And one of those other new people, Eric Young, he made his debut, had a match against Samoa Joe.
Some of Joe.
So they're going with babyface Eric Young as like a potential title contender, which.
I don't. I never watched much TNA, but I never thought Eric Young was too bad.
I was never the biggest fan.
Did he ever end up winning the TNA cha title?
I think he did. I think he won it like right around the time that Daniel Bryan won. Because it was like, oh, the bearded underdog guy
Oh,
wins.
so they were just copying what WWE did. Okay,
Yeah.
yeah, now I remember. However, he is a three-time TNA Legends Global Television King of the Mountain champion, and I'm really happy that they named all of them as one. So, fuck TNA. But I mean, there's way worse they could have done. There's people out there who really, really suck at wrestling. So it's weird that he was one of the longest tenured guys in TNA. He's been there for like 11 years, I feel like. So, he might do better in WWE. You never know. So I'll give him a shot.
Yeah, obviously wish him the best no matter what, because if he sucks and he's on TV, then that sucks for us. But if he's good, then that's good. But WWE has released two different people, Rich Brennan and Kyle Edwards, two of the broadcasters. Brennan was a part of NXT for a little bit there, kind of ended up moving on to SmackDown, but they replaced him with Mauro Ranallo. Kyle Edwards was doing the five things, and he was doing some up, up, down, down stuff. No clue why either of them got released, but. Sort of seems like Mauro Ranallo came in and was just there was like, nah.
Nah, bruh.
Tom Phillips has been doing quite a bit too lately.
It's weird. I didn't really care for Rich too much. He was just, generic white commentator. But Kyle, I thought, when he was doing five things, I thought that was interesting. So a little surprised there. But if you're not gonna do much in the company and you're collecting a paycheck, then that gives you them a reason to release you. So hopefully they find work. I bet Rich will end up working in TNA. And Kyle, I mean, that's usually how it works. They just get all of WWE's old commentators. So that would probably how it works.
Kyle, I could see moving on to like SportsCenter kind of thing.
Really? I can't even picture what Kyle looks like.
Rich Brennan,
I know
I
of
don't
Rich
know about
itself.
Rich.
What do you mean?
And of course, it sort of depends on if these two have any other outside in like interests and stuff. Like Todd Grisham went to ESPN to do something, I think, with like soccer and stuff, right?
He went to SportsCenter. He was like one of the main people they had for that show. I don't know. I feel like he's still there. I'm actually surprised they haven't done more with him and the because they do coach doing all the WWE stuff on there, but I'm surprised they haven't done much with Todd yet.
Maybe he just doesn't want to.
I don't fucking blame him, but he was never much of a WWE guy anyway, so
Nah. He seemed like he was there for a paycheck.
yeah, exactly. So I always liked Todd. I know you weren't a big fan of him, but I liked his voice. He wasn't too bad, I believe. But I think he does MMA stuff on there at ESPN now. And then he also does SportsCenter. So I think the MMA part, Wago likes them, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Both of these two guys I liked enough that I would have kept them, but we'll see where they end up going. Hopefully it's all the best.
Well, see, to be fair, we would be fine if, like, Jerry the King wasn't on commentary anymore, and JBL, and a lot of other people. So,
Yeah, that's true. Well, I like JBL. And Lawler's been better now that he's a little bit more of a heel.
and he's on SmackDown, and he's on my face all the time.
Yeah. And it's
I
not
think,
just going, ah.
I honestly don't like JBL much anymore.
Really?
When he does the heel thing and he's like, "Oh man, why is he doing that? That's so unfair." And then the heel thing guy does the same thing and then he praises him for it. I get it when he's because he's a heel, but even when it was Jerry the King Lawler as a heel, he didn't do it that bad. I really cannot stand heel JBL anymore. And also, and mainly, I think it's because Michael Cole just kind because he's has to be the good guy commentator now. He doesn't really bounce off it well, and half the time he's kind of like agreeing with him, and then you're stuck with Byron Saxton be trying to like take on both of them, which will never work out in his favor.
Well, the best
So,
thing that JBL does is pick on Byron.
yeah, that he does well, but other than that, I really would be fine if JBL wasn't on commentary much anymore. Just because he doesn't bring much to the table, all he does is complain that the heel is not getting the one up, and then every once in a while he'll make some old joke that I won't understand because he's old as dirt.
Speaking of that, Ric Flair has terminated his contract with the Woo Nation podcast. He's not going to be doing that anymore.
Never listened to it.
No, I never listened to a single episode. Yeah. He's doing his own thing with Charlotte now, and
Yeah.
I wasn't that intrigued with a podcast for him anyway. Like, Flair is better to me in spurts. I'm kind of sick of him now, you know?
Listen, when you're out on the road and when you're getting drunk in airports causing a scene, it's really hard to do a podcast.
That's
So,
true.
I understand where you might want to slow down with that.
We have a new reality TV show that's being shopped around for Paul Heyman and his Looking for Larry marketing agency. There's a show I'm not gonna watch.
Is that for the network?
No, it's just like a normal TV show.
Okay.
So like, no matter what, there's no TV show I'm gonna watch about like the crazy shit that happens with our marketing agency. Like, oh God, I don't care, you know? Paul Heyman's interesting and stuff, but the other people, I can't imagine being cool.
I would imagine that this would be a sleeper hit.
Really?
Yeah, because it sounds something that's so stupid that it might work. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up going well. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just the complete and utter dog shit. So, I doubt it'll ever happen. But if it ever does, I'll definitely check it out just because, just to go lol. Okay, I was wrong.
We have a very serious story when it comes to Dolph Ziggler's younger brother, who is on the run for aggravated murder.
On the road again.
So don't be too shocked if Ziggler is like a little off recently. Maybe he doesn't wrestle as much. Maybe he's dealing with something like that. But that sucks, you
Yeah.
know?
There's not much you can really do in that situation, but I feel bad for Dolph. I feel bad for anyone who has like those terrible siblings that just makes them look bad
Yeah.
or just like could be, or in most cases, everyone has that one family member who it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be too upset if you were never to show up again because you're just a shit person. I'm not going to say that Dolph Ziggler's brother is a bad guy, but when you kind of murder someone, you're not in a good area. You're not in good shape. So, I feel bad for Dolph. I wouldn't be surprised if they have him on TV less because of it.
But, right.
Or him? Was he in the 20-man match for the number one contendership for the U.S. title?
Yep, he got eliminated by Baron Corbin, I think.
Okay,
he eliminated Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin took him out something.
So I'm assuming those two are. That's kind of funny because Baron Corbin's like this lone wolf biker gang kind of look, and I'm assuming Dolph Ziggler's brother's like on a motorcycle running away.
He's like, just because he's wanted and on the run.
Yes.
He instantly becomes a biker.
Yes. Like he's in like this old Western saloon hiding for the cops. he's in the corner. He's like, and he has his like cowboy hat on, spitting in his just big old
spittoon.
He's just like, you'll never catch me, officer. Just pulls out his gun, twirls it, shoots him, gets on his motorcycle, grabs some babe, and is on the run again.
And just to be clarification here, the brother is not the one that was a part of NXT for a little bit. Totally different guy.
Dolph Ziggler had a brother who was a part of NXT?
Yeah, Ryan Nemeth. This is a different brother. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I didn't write that down.
Not Ryan Nemeth. This is
so it's not Ryan. We have a couple more things here. Where did I lose track of where he was? Oh, WWE edited a sign that they had at Payback. When they were putting something up on their Twitter or whatever it was, they took the sign that was in the crowd that says, when it rains, it bores. And they got rid of the it bores. They actually edited that out where it just says, when it rains. They photoshopped it.
That's awesome.
Which is like, don't be a dick. Come on. So the person brought an anti-Roman Reigns sign to the crowd. Don't edit it, you know?
I know. It's kind of stupid, but at the same time, I kind of think it's funny. So
I could see editing it out if it was something offensive.
Yeah. If it was like, Chris Benoit should be in the WWE Hall of Fame and he didn't kill his family. Then,
or like, if they're trying to use that picture for promotional purposes and it says, like, you know, something like a curse is on it, or like, you know, it's a picture of like an asshole or something. Like, something that would be like, all right, we have to blur this out or whatever. But when it's just anti-Roman Reigns, come on.
And this is good. I don't know how widely reported this is, but I'm assuming this is sparks more like, oh man, WWE's trying to shove Roman Reigns down our throat. Fuck him.
Right. Yeah. It's like proving them right.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't help the cause at all for that. So now that I think about it, they definitely should have done this. This was probably the worst thing they could have done in this situation.
They probably thought nobody would notice, but these WWE fans, they're too into it. They're going to notice. I wouldn't have fucking noticed, but somebody
did. I noticed the sign, so.
Yeah, I mean, I was paying attention to the sign to begin with, but I do like the sign idea, though. When it rains, it bores. That's a good pun.
That's a good pun, yeah. Kudos to them.
Yeah, you got a golf clap, guy, whoever you are. Yeah, two more hot tags here. Adam Rose's suspension has been clarified. He had a doctor's note that says he was trying to treat ADHD symptoms with Adderall, and that's why he got suspended. So that makes it a little bit easier to get on his side for this, that maybe he shouldn't just be fired. Maybe he should be brought back.
I don't think he's going to be fired for this, but at the same time, really, it had to be ADHD. That's like the one thing. Maybe this is why he can't wrestle, just because it gets to him too much. So, they have to get rid of the suspension now. There's no fucking way. If they don't allow him to wrestle and the suspension holds and he leaves the company, I feel like this could be a lawsuit in some way. So
kind of seems like it could be, right? Because it's not something like an illegal steroid or whatever. No. It's Adderall. Like,
yeah, no. Is this something to help people stay? No, I know people who in high school who abused Adderall and they failed drug tests and then they didn't have a actual doctor's note for it, so they got in trouble. But in this instance, if he has the doctor's note, that kind of like puts him like, oh, okay, I guess you're not too bad, Adam Rose. So Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting a roll-up win on someone this Monday on Raw to make it up for him. Though, I
Only a
understand.
roll-up, though, right?
Yeah, only roll-up. They're not going to actually give him, like, anything important. But at it'll be against Zack Ryder, probably. So I wouldn't be too upset if that was the case.
Well, if he's going to beat anybody, one person he could beat is Darren Young.
Oh, we're talking about that now?
Yeah, it's our last hot tag of the week. Darren Young, spoilers for SmackDown, is going to be repackaged with Bob Backlund as his manager. What?
from what I gathered, it's a kind of supposed to be something to deal with, like, since the presidential election is coming up, Bob Backlund has always been that, you know, that kind of politician type of guy. So I'm assuming it's something to do with that. And what a weird fucking pairing. The only way this could work out, if in some way they mock Donald Trump and everyone in the actual election.
Well, they are doing the Donald Trump thing because it's make Darren great again.
Oh, at least
the whole make America great again thing.
Yeah, I'm glad that they realize he sucks now. It's not that he
took
was
a couple years.
No, he was never great at one point. They're no. Even just like, yeah, let's make. No, they should take the again part out of it. He was never great, in the first place. Exactly.
Or like make Darren passable again.
I guess back in 2012 he was passable, but what is there no one else that they could have done this with to make it somewhat interesting and maybe in some way it could work?
If you're looking for somebody that needs another boost to be great again because they used to be great, it's fucking Damian Sandow.
Yeah. Ah, fuck, that was such a good one. I mean, shit, they could have done this with Titus O'Neil. At least with that, Titus is actually a likable guy in some ways, so I think it would be funny if Titus does, like, his weird catchphrases, and Bob's like, dude, what the fuck are you saying?
I still love the old, if you're gonna win, make it a win. I probably would have done worse.
Yeah, but was the last time Bob Backlund on TV when they were doing the Hall of Fame
induction, maybe?
I don't even know if it was the Hall of Fame induction. I remember one night after Vicky got fired, they did like a WWE poll to see who the GM for the night was going to be and one of the options. And it was between Bob Backlund, Booker T, and I think Mick Foley. Mick Foley won, but Mick Foley had like 80% of the vote. Booker T had like 18%. He had 18% of the vote. Bob Backlund had like 2 or 3% of the votes.
Yeah, well, it's Bob Backlund. I mean, he was old when I was little.
Yeah, I imagine so. But that's just so fucking weird.
I'm curious if this is something that like every week he's going to talk to a different legend, or if it's just Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
If it's just Bob Backlund, that's going to be even more amazing.
I wonder how many conversations a gay wrestler and Bob Backlund could have. Before Bob Backlund says something racist or sexist or just...
Yeah, a gay black wrestler who is younger than him, so there's the generation gap as well. It's just like, we have nothing in common, dude.
You know, this could be great, actually. So they should totally stick with this and just have him... Just have Bob Backlund keep on saying racist stuff to him. And
do you know
like,
if
dude,
Backlund...
what the fuck?
Do you know if Backlund's, like, a Republican and if Darren Young's a Democrat or something like that, too?
Dude, Bob Backlund's 100% a Republican. There's no way he's not.
It's got to be, like, you just do all those kind of things. Like, they can talk backstage and be like, I'm pro-choice and I'm anti-choice.
Well, I'm
pro-life, is what they call it.
He's like, Darren's like, I'm for gay marriage. And Bob's like, I don't believe in that. And then it gets really awkward and they kind of, like, fade away from that.
Yeah, that's just the end of the segment. Very curious to see what happens with that. Curious to see what you guys have to say as well about these hot tags. So leave those comments below. Tell us what you think about all these different subjects. We had a lot that we went down, so if you need a refresher of what they are, go ahead and check out the YouTube description. We are going to take a break with the rest hold, and I'm going to give you some more information about some different things in there, as well as, of course, the Mark My Words comment of the week, the Did You Know parody, and so on. And after that, we're going to come back, talk about Superstar Scores, right back. Welcome to The Rest Hold. This is the promotional section of the show that acts as a commercial break and fills you in on what you need to be aware of going down on the World of Smarkout moment for this week and some other things as well, just to spice things up. First things first, I want to tell you guys that the qualifying round of the 2016 Sexiest WWE Superstars Tournament is going to be ending very soon because I'm shutting those polls off sometime on Thursday. So you have a little bit more time to cast your votes to determine who those 32 men and women are going to be to see who is eligible to win this year. And round one is going to be starting sometime this weekend. So go ahead and do that right now. You can find a link on the sidebar at smarkoutmoment.com. Cast those votes. Tell us who you think is hot. Outside interference articles for this week are all on eWrestling News. There is my review of whether you should see or skip Camp WWE. Talked a little bit about that before already, but we also have something about my early match predictions for Extreme Rules, so if you're interested in those two articles, go ahead and check out those posts on eWrestlingNews.com. You can find links all over the place as well on Facebook, Twitter, and the homepage of SmarkOutMoment.com underneath the section that says Outside Interference. Next up is Smark My Words, one of my favorite comments throughout the week that you guys sent in some fashion, and this week, once again, the winner is Mark Gracie. Good old Swad had another comment that made me chuckle during the Monday Night Show talk, and his comment was about Mitch the Plant. He says he was just 2 days to retirement. Isn't that how it always goes, man? Always in the line of fire, they just go down right at the end there. It's such a shame. Big thanks to him for sending that comment in and to all the others who participated in all the other conversations that we have as well. We have so many different platforms for you guys to smark out with us. One of those in particular is our Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. That's the spot where we goof off throughout the week, and we invite you guys to take part in all the fun by joining us at facebook.com/group/TheMegaManiacs. The mailbag for May is going to be coming up most likely on episode number 235, so there's a little bit of time for you to brainstorm some questions and send them our way by tweeting at us with the hashtag mailbag or shooting us an email through the contact form of the website. Whether it's wrestling related or not, send those questions our way and we'll answer them. And if you're going to a wrestling event and want to show your support for the website, take part in the Sign Me Up initiative. All you got to do is send a picture of yourself holding up a Smark Out Moment sign at that show, and I'll give you a shout out on the website and on the next episode of Smack Talk. And if you want to support us with what's in your wallet, there is a couple different ways in which you can send us your spare change: the Patreon rewards account, the YouTube channel's fan funding module, or the PayPal donation button at the bottom of smarkoutmoment.com. And another way that you guys can do that is by hitting up our merchandise shops. We have two of them now: redbubble.com/people/smarkoutmoment and our TeePublic shop. A little bit cheaper for the t-shirts on TeePublic, but you got a little bit more of a variety on Redbubble, so go ahead and browse those catalogs over there. And if you can't afford to spread the wealth, we totally understand that, but don't forget about the other ways that you can help us out that doesn't involve your wallet. Make sure you give a thumbs up to all of our videos on YouTube. Spread the word by sharing the channel and the website on social media. Retweet us on Twitter, like our Facebook posts, leave a positive review on iTunes, drop some links on some message boards and Reddit and all like that. And remember to do the same thing for sites like fanboysanonymous.com. That's our nerdy website that deals with movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all those other kind of geeky subjects. So if you want to geek out with us, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.com/fanboysanonymous. And check out the articles on the site. We got a new contest up right now where you can win a Captain America shield. We got some reviews coming up, some unboxings, all the other kind of content like that. Go there, check that out. Make sure you subscribe at All Talk Show for anything coming up in the future about the All Talk Show. More information to that when it becomes available. And if you're interested in joining the Smark Out Moment team in some fashion, then send in your application using the contact form of the website, and I will get back to you with more info about that as soon as I can. And we have a main event to get to coming up next, so thank you for listening to The Rest Hold, everybody. We will see you in part four. Welcome back from that rest hold. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know that I did, kind of. We are going to do our main event for this episode. It's Superstar Scores Ryback. If you don't know what Superstar Scores is, I'll give you a quick breakdown here. There is a 0 to 100 scale, and we break down 10 different categories into 5 umbrella sections and rank those on a 0 to 10, add them all up, Obviously, it ends up coming out 0 to 100. Highest score that we have ever given anybody, I think at this point, is probably around like the 88 range or so. I don't think we've cracked 90 for
No.
anything that we've done.
I think the only person that was possible for that, other than maybe John Cena, is Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is definitely the one who has the highest out of my total. I have the numbers for that. I don't have everybody else's listed, but
See, like John Cena might just have like nines and tens for everything.
maybe that he could end up getting probably the best score out of anybody. That's right. Michaels for me, for the record, has an 83. Although if I go back and I redo some of these in comparison to some of the other people, I might like give him a little bit more. I don't know.
Oh.
I think my lowest right now, let me see.
Is
My
this still
lowest is
RVD?
probably Buff Bagwell, I think.
Buff Bagwell.
Yeah, RVD and Buff Bagwell are both tied. Although Buff should be lower than RVD. So again, if I went back, I'd probably give some more points to RVD. Second highest that I've had so far is looking like Triple H.
That's
And
understandable.
Triple H and Chris Jericho tied at 78. So, again, we do it based off of the different categories that we can give a 0 to 10 score on. And Wago actually sent me his scores ahead of time, so I'm going to include his scores in this one as well. And a lot of us are very similar with this, so very curious to see if there are any kind of situations where we disagree, why that would be. And we're going to start off with the umbrella category of ring skills, which houses athleticism and psychology. Athleticism is basically their move set, their finisher, whether or not they botch all that often, and if they can pull off having like a 60-minute match and it's entertaining, or if they're pretty much like a one-hit pony, sort of. And psychology is more about their storytelling capacity and if they pull off the entertainment side of in-ring work. So, Drew, what did you give Ryback for ring skills?
For ring skills, gave him a 7. Wait, am I giving you both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so athleticism, I gave him a 7. And the main reason why I gave him a 7 is towards the beginning, he was kind of, you could tell he's green. He's just this big guy, looks like a big bodybuilder. And they protected him a lot early in his run with like the quick jobber matches where he'd win in like a couple minutes. Though after he picked up his loss and he actually had to start taking longer matches and then he had an injury that he recouped from. The guy has improved a lot. And this might be the most controversial opinion because there's a lot of people who think Ryback is generic and boring and he's just a one-trick pony and he does the same thing. But Ryback is one of the guys who has constantly improved each year and added stuff and moves into his rotation. I mean, shit, he doesn't go all the way to the top rope, but still, he does a frog splash. And on top of that, he's able to run the ropes a lot better. He does a lot more power moves instead of just like spears, clotheslines, spine busters. So I gave him a 7 for athleticism. Though for psychology, I gave him a 6 just because, and it's not really his fault, but his body and him just being this big muscular guy, you could really only do so many matches with him. And he's not going to go out there and put on technical matches where he's going to work on the foot and then apply some kind of like figure four to win as a submission. He just pretty much went out there, beat you down, and then in a lot of cases, David versus Goliath, it's kind of easy story to tell. So I gave him a 6 for psychology. So 7 and a 6.
And you know what? Funny enough, I gave him a 7 and a 6, and Wago gave him a 7 and a 6.
Oh, damn.
We all are on the same capacity with that, and it's for the same kind of reasons too. For athleticism, he can do pretty much what you would expect him to do as a big guy, but every once in a while, he pulls out something different too. Like you mentioned, the frog splash, or just even being able to run the ropes a little bit quicker than a lot of them.
And shoot, it's actually kind of impressive. Now he doesn't do it much, but when he was getting pushed a lot more last year, I recall him doing like going through the ropes and jumping on a pile outside of the ring, which someone for his size, it's really impressive because you think that he would just like hit the ropes and kind of pull an Enzo Amore when he does it, but he's actually able to go through the ropes. So that's something that I was considering as well. He's able to do something like that.
But I mean, at the same token, he's not going to get a 9 or a 10 because he's not flipping around like an Evan Bourne or a Neville or something like that. But he doesn't have to. So it gets a thumbs up for that. And psychology, again, like you had said, if you're the big guy, you're either going to fight somebody who's bigger than you and you have to sell a beat down, or you're the big guy beating somebody else down. Like, he doesn't have that wide of a range, so they don't give him all that much to do. And if he is fighting somebody like a Sankara or a Callisto, it's a little hard to believe what he's doing, but you know that he's just doing his job. And, you know, so he, a little bit of a lower score when it comes to that, but he does do a lot of that stuff well. Like, I don't look at a Ryback match and go, oh, this is so fucking fake. It is, but, you know. So all the same scores all around here. That takes us into mic skills, charisma, and character. Charisma is their basic mic skills in general, or whether or not they can cut a promo without stuttering. Are they repetitive? Do they keep things fresh? That kind of stuff. Character is more along the lines of their gimmick and their heel or face tendencies, whether they can get over with the crowd based off of the person that they're trying to portray. And I'm going to start this time because why not? I gave him a 6 for charisma and a 7 for character. My 6 for charisma was mostly based off of the idea that he's not really that great on the microphone, but he does say things that are funny. And sometimes it's, like, unintentional. But we've had a lot of fun making fun of the way that Ryback talks. So there's an entertainment value just to that. And character-wise, kind of the same thing. Like, his bully character was by far the best. Smiling tough guy, I'm not as much into. But when we look at his mic skills and his character all combined and stuff, Ryback's one of the first people that we attributed an extra bit of character to with that whole annoying tourist thing. Hey, Oos, you know, how far down to Grand Canyon? And it's like, you can't not give the guy at least a positive score when it comes to that, even if he is, like, struggling now and again. For the record, Wego gave him a 6 and a 6, so he gave him same for charisma and just a point lower for character. But what did you go with, Drew?
So I originally gave him a 6 for mic skill and 7 for character, but I bumped it up a 7 for mic skill just because I wasn't even thinking about the characters that we even made for him. But, you know, he didn't really cut too many promos when he was first just the silent guy who's just pretty much saying, wake up, feed me more. That's really all he said.
Stupid.
But I will say, when he was cutting promos when he first turned heel, it wasn't bad. There's way worse people. I mean, Roman Reigns was starting to cut actual promos, those were kind of bad. I've never actually thought Ryback has done a bad promo. I cannot recall one where it's just fringeworthy and it's just terrible. And also in like 2014, when he did like some inspirational one when he came back, kind of telling the story about how, you know, just how growing up, how he loved wrestling and all that other stuff. I thought that was a really good promo, and moving this over to character, I gave him a 7. The big guy just going out there beating up things, it was fun. But, dude, when he turned heel and he was just backstage at catering fucking with people.
Slapping tuna on people's faces.
Yes, just pouring soup down people's, like shirts and stuff. That was the best thing, building up the SummerSlam, because they didn't do anything with him. But that was amazing, and anyone who says otherwise is just a fucking hater. Ryback is awesome. There's no reason why he gets as much hate as he does. And it's a damn shame that with this thing that he's doing now where he wants to pick on Kalisto because he's so small, he should fucking bully the shit out of him now.
Yeah, he should be doing that shit where he puts his bag in the shower again and all that.
He should act friendly, go up to Kalisto backstage and give him a noogie. Ha, what's up? Hey, I'm going to take that title off you. What's up, Kalisto?
Yeah, what's up, champ?
Pats him on the shoulder.
All right, sport. You go out there and wrestle sport.
Oh, see, man, Ryback is fucking Ryback. Awesome. Oh, fucking Ryback. What do you got to get in trouble for?
Yeah, come on, man. Start pushing that dude again. Appearance, we have physique. I don't really need to explain what the hell it is. Body. That's what that word means. And entrance, which incorporates their music, the pyro, if they have any, the taunts that they do, catchphrases, all that other kind of stuff. You know, what an entrance is as well. I really shouldn't have to explain what the appearance is, but some people get confused about that. Physique, both Wago and I gave him a 10. Dude's jacked. And, like, jacked. You know, you're kind of going with, like, this over-the-top muscular picture of, like, what WWE superstar should be. This dude is just what you want to be in a superstar, right?
Yeah.
What'd you do with Physique?
I give him a 2.
What?
I'm just kidding with you. The big guy, he's muscular. The only thing that's going against him is that he's bald. And his face, he definitely does not have the best looking face. But dude, the guy is fucking jacked. Ryback is awesome. He's, well, like you said, he's like the perfect form of Vince McMahon. I know Apollo Crews now is like Vince McMahon's like perfect superstar.
But a little Ryback, short though.
A little short, but Ryback, he had the height, he had the look. Face was kind of messed up, but the body was 100% there. So we definitely got a 10 for physique.
Ryback in a 10 all the way around. Entrance, though, maybe not the same. I'm giving him a 7. I like his theme. I like the wake up, it's feeding time thing. But I don't like that we only have that sound effect instead of the pyro.
The pyro's there, dude.
I thought that he didn't have, because I've never seen pyro.
No. So it's like with the Usos, because the Usos, they have the fire that pole goes out as well. But for a while, when the Usos was doing their thing, and then they do the Us, and then the pyro goes off, above the Titantron, there's pyro that goes off when Ryback does his stuff.
Huh.
The pyro, it's real pyro. They just don't show it. It's above, if you ever go to like a Raw, and you might not be able to see it now, but whenever Ryback comes out and he has the pyro, you have to look above the Titantron because you can see it go off up there.
Wonder why they would never show that then.
I don't fucking know.
That's lame anyway. That still deducts points for them not showing it.
I think it's a bigger boom, I think, when it's up there. Because since there's not as much people all the way up there, I think there's more space to work with.
Hmm.
So I think for the effect of the big boom that he gets, it works.
Mine's a 7. Wago's is a 6. What's your entrance score?
At first, I gave him a 7, but then I bumped it up to an 8 because I forgot his song is on my workout playlist whenever I work out. And I get to be fucking jacked. Also, if you ever listen to Ryback talk about why he does like the arms up and down before he does the wake up, it's feeding time thing, I forget what the story is exactly. But it has a lot to do with his meditation and how like he's waking his body up when he does it, and then when he pulls his fist down, the pyro goes up. It's like his body like is now he's in I'm a fuck you up mode.
He's like fully charged.
Yes, that's what it is. It's an amazing story. I think he said it on Chris Jericho's podcast, which is a good episode if you have never listened to it. I don't know if he's done multiple, but there's a good Ryback one on there that you definitely need to check out. So. For entrance, I gave him an 8 because the music is awesome and Ryback is the fucking man.
Ryback. Fucking interesting as all hell. We have behavior, which the two categories underneath that are backstage professionalism, which is basically their locker room mentality and whether or not they are able to do the job, or if they bitch and complain about wins and losses, which we'll get into that in a minute. And public relations, their charity work, talk show circuits, promotion of the company, whether or not they get arrested. That's something that could be a negative score, you know, good image or a bad image when it comes to the company. What did you go with for this one, Drew, for behavior, those two?
So for public relations, I think I might have given the highest score out of everyone. I gave him an 8. And the reason why is he is a good guy to go out there and talk about the company. I mean, he's definitely not in the best relationships with the higher ups in the company right now. But whenever he went out and talked about WWE, he was always praising them. He did a lot of charity work. He did a lot of Make-A-Wish stuff for a while as well. I know he still does it, but I don't believe there's any bad records of him getting arrested or anything. I believe you said that he failed a drug test. Was he one of the people that failed the wellness policy once?
Yeah, he did get at least one suspension before.
Did it say if it was for steroids or anything like that? Or
I think it was one of the steroid ones.
Okay. Then that's a shame. But Still, I he's never, in my opinion, never been a bad guy to go out there. He always talked positively about the company. He always, and even when the CM Punk thing was a big issue, and CM Punk said that he took years off his life, Ryback never said anything bad about it. He just said he respected Punk's decision, what he said, but he knows that he's a solid wrestler, a good hand in the ring, and a lot of people backed him up on that claim. So. And he's always been very professional about that. So I'll give him an 8. And when it comes to backstage professionalism, it might not look that good now, but Ryback doesn't seem like a guy that was complaining too much. And we kind of painted this idea kind of that maybe he never really stood up for himself, because this guy should have been a world champion by now. And it's a damn shame he hasn't. So maybe in the past, he's been a guy who definitely didn't speak up for himself, and he kind of just went out there and did what he was told to do. So maybe that's why he feels kind of bad about the situation where he might not – I don't know where he thinks he deserves when it comes to money-wise, but when that – because that's like a whole other story pretty much. So for backstage professionalism, I'm going to give him a 7. I was thinking about giving him an 8, but I think that's way too high, because it's not like – I don't think he's referred to as like a locker room leader of any way. I've never heard many reports of stuff like that. But at the same time, he always does the backstage – stuff with videos that they do for WWE.com or with like Up Up Down Down. I know he's done a couple things with them, and he even did stuff with like the Table of Three. So I'm definitely going to give him a positive score for that. So an 8 for public relations and a 7 for professionalism.
Tiny bit higher than mine. And Wagos, we both gave him a 7 for both. And like you had said, I mean, we don't know how this backstage professionalism thing is going to go down, because we could find out, hell, 20 minutes from now when we're recording, that Ryback goes on this big rant and he's like, fuck everybody, and I'm a fucking asshole, and like whatever like that. And then we can, you know, obviously deduct a lot of points.
Watch Ryback pulls, not a Ken Shamrock, but shit, who was the first guy out of the Spirit Squad that was on the main roster? Dykstra. It was that guy.
About, like, bitching about how he deserved better and all that?
No, how John Cena always hated him. What if, like, Ryback just... He just says the number one thing that everyone else does when they leave the company. He's like, oh, John Cena was a fucking asshole backstage. He didn't want to put me over. So, if he does something like that, I'll be ashamed of him, but...
Immediately goes to you shoot.
Exactly.
I mean, that could happen, or we can find out that he actually is arguing on behalf of a couple other people, not just himself, and if that's the case, then he deserves extra points. But like you had said, I haven't heard much of him being a locker room leader, more so just not really being much of a problem. And he clearly has no issue putting people over. He loses more than he wins, so that's not an issue. So it's sort of just more up in the air, and I wasn't willing to give him higher than a 7 because I just don't know. But not going to give him like a 3 or anything like that. Like, he didn't do anything fucking wrong from what I can see. And public relations, he did get that suspension. That takes that a little bit away from him, and he does run into a situation where they don't use him as often. And I think that they could have used him more with this whole, like, you got to be positive, inspirational, motivator, speaker kind of thing. But they didn't really do it with him. So that's all a little bit more on WWE's behalf than him so much. But I'm giving him a 7 for that one, too. He's somebody who they could use more, yet they don't. And I can't see him actually being on the talk shows that much, though. That's one thing. Like, can you imagine Ryback being on Conan O'Brien? It'd probably be fucking great.
Oh, if him on, like, Jimmy Fallon or, shoot, even if it was, like, with David Letterman when he was still doing it. Actually,
it's so awkward.
Oh, him and Jay Leno might be the most awkward television ever.
Like, Jay Leno's got that whole, like, that laugh that he's got going on. Letterman's got his laugh. Ryback's sitting there going, yeah, you guys laugh funny.
Does Jay Leno sound like Colt Cabana when Colt does his podcast?
I've only listened to half of a Colt Cabana podcast. I don't remember.
Well, Colt just stutters, so he's kind of like me. He just stutters a lot, and he never really asks questions. But I don't know. I imagine Jay Leno the same thing, or he does his stuff the same way, because Jay Leno has that. He just sounds weird half the time, because he's like, so guys, I have the story. So I don't know. Maybe he's John Travolta.
He's a mix between Travolta and Drew. I miss Leno. I used to like Leno the best out of everybody.
Really? So, do you think Fallon was a good replacement?
Nah.
You don't like Fallon?
He's good enough.
I think the thing I really don't like about Fallon, if I have to complain about anything, is that he has the worst fake laugh ever.
Oh, it's terrible. Just ha 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 ha. And it's like, oh my god, dude. You're a fucking hyena. Shut up.
But I do like his, you know, when he does his improv at the beginning, and then some of the segments they have that he does is funny. But yeah, that's probably deducts points. But you know, Ryback, right?
Coming up in the future, Superstar Scores Jay Leno. He was a part of WCW for a little bit.
Oh, dude, we'd have to get some like dirt on him for backstage professionalism. I bet.
Oh, that would be the Conan O'Brien situation.
Oh.
Be like, well, you know what? He did want to keep the job for the other people that were working there, but he kind of fucked over Conan, and I'm pretty sure he'll get a higher score than Hitler. You know? Crowd reaction is our last group. We have popularity and credibility. Popularity is their cheers, their boos, their merchandise, their ratings, Twitter followers, etc. Credibility is whether or not those wins and losses actually do matter. And if you would look at them as somebody who could win and be a main eventer, a future legend, or whatever the case may be, maybe you're Eric Rowan in that capacity, or if you're just a jobber and you have no real value to you. I gave him a 7 for popularity, which I'm tempted to give him an 8, but I don't know. He was over as all hell at one point, but they fucked him over, and you got to kind of weigh the good and the bad. Like, if this was Ryback back right when he was facing CM Punk, dude's like a 9. If this was Ryback when he was teaming with Rybacksel, that whole thing, dude's like a 3. So I kind of weighed the good and the bad, kind of figured he's at a 7. Could have been higher up, but they screwed him over a little bit with that. Credibility-wise, sort of the same thing. He's a guy that I would believe, just looking at him, that he could beat anybody on the roster. Yet, he doesn't win. So, when he loses to somebody like a Kalisto, I'm not too surprised. Even though I want him to destroy him. So, 7-6 for me. Wago's scores were a 6 and a 6. Drew, round us out. What does Ryback get for popularity and credibility?
For popularity, yeah. He was the most, like we said, at one point, he was the most popular face. He was getting, John Cena is always going to be the most popular face on the roster. He's always going to be that top guy. Ryback was right below him for a period of time in 2012. And even for a little bit after that, he was still very popular. But when they turned him heel, he kind of was in between. The internet community never really liked him just because they're force feeding us. To him, to us, kind of ordeal. So, but I even now, I think he's still liked. When he came back after his injury, he got a really good pop, and for a long time he was still well cheered. So I'm gonna give him a 7 for popularity. And also, by the way, Ryback is one of the best guys to follow on Twitter. He posts some of the best stuff on there. So if you don't follow him, you really do, because he posts some stupid shit, especially when he was doing the heel Ryback. And he was just like, he would say something completely offensive and then he would delete it. Like, oh, I have no idea what happened.
Oh, I got hacked. Yes. Kurt Angle hacked me.
So I'm going to give him a 7 for that. And for credibility, kind of like, I kind of agree with you, where if this was 2012 and he was at his peak of when he was just undefeated, the guy would have been a 9 or a 10. But he kind of dropped off and he had his losing streak. He was with a team with Rybacksel, with Curtis Axel, and he lost a lot of matches for a while there, and he was a jobber at one point. He was able to pick it up by winning that IC title and being in that match of the year in 2014. And I was going to give him a credibility of 7 if this was before WrestleMania, but with him fucking the whole thing he did with Kalisto up, I hate to give him a 6, but I have to give him a 6 for credibility, just because they really fucked Ryback over, and 10 years from now, if Ryback leaves the company and we look back on this 10 years from now, he's going to be one of the biggest what ifs in a situation where they didn't hot, where they, if they, what if they hot shotted the title on him when CM Punk was injured and CM Punk wasn't in his long reign? It would have been interesting to see how his career would have ended up being if he won the title then, or
He totally should have beaten Big Show.
Yeah. Or he should have pinned and beat Mark Henry at WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, that was like, such bullshit.
Yeah, they really fucked him up. And people will say that he doesn't deserve it. Dude, the guy is a fucking amazing. And no way he should have ever lost to Mark Henry at WrestleMania. But the guy, he was well-liked backstage for a long time. He's funny. He's clever. And he's one of the nicest people if you ever meet him in public. That's from what I've heard from a lot of people online. So I hate giving him a low score like this for credibility of a 6, but I really can't justify giving him a 7 or an 8.
So the final tally for Wego was a 67. Not bad. Final tally for you, Drew?
My final tally is a 73. So I think nothing lower than a 6, which surprised me. I thought I would have ended up giving him like a 5 or something, or maybe even a 4. But I guarantee you in like 2 weeks, we're going to hear about how Ryback was a pain in the ass the last few months. And maybe his professionalism should be like a 3 or 4. But
he actually is the one that's on the run now, not Dolph Ziggler's brother.
He's actually that fake story that I probably found earlier about some guy partying way too much. It's actually Ryback. So maybe that, but right now, 73, which is a really good score. I mean, if you mentioned at the beginning, Chris Jericho, Triple H got 78s from you, 73 is not a bad score.
No, not a bad at all. And what's really funny is you said not anything lower than a 6. All three of us, 6 is the lowest score that we gave him for anything. And there's a 3-point difference between all of us. 67 for Wego, 70 for me, 73 for you. So he's at that 70 range, essentially. That's like the hybrid between the two. Good score for Ryback. Like, I mean, there's people on this list that I have that we've done before that are considered much better than Ryback by a lot of people that don't really come that much different from him. Like, I mean, I gave Ultimate Warrior a 74. He's considered one of those like greatest of all time people and stuff, and it's like he's only 4 points higher than him. Brock Lesnar's only 5 points higher than him right now for me.
You gave Ultimate Warrior 74.
Yeah, I might need to go back and deduct some points for that.
That sounds incredibly high for someone who was in, especially for backstage professionalism and public relations. That sounds way too high.
I think Warrior was one of those guys where he got a lot of like a 10 for this and a 2 for that kind of. There's like backstage professionalism's like a 3, and then like physique's like a 10 or something.
I'm about to say, I imagine he got like a 10 for physique, character was like a 10, mic skill was a 10, maybe credibility was like a 9 or something like that.
Entrance was probably up there.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of makes sense, but fuck, 74 is really good. Yeah. It just like you said, you said Shawn Michaels was like an 83 or something like that?
Yep.
It's really hard to get a score in the 80s. Because you at that point, you really have to have a lot of 8s and 9s. And
yeah, 10s. You have to pretty much have 8s, 9s, 10s. And then what fucked Michaels over was the professionalism stuff.
Yeah. So you're saying when he found God, that didn't help him at all?
Eh, it did a little bit.
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, as I said before, I need to go back. I need to redo some of these because I was a little harsh on RVD. I was a little...
Oh, yeah, I know you were.
I was a little too lenient, maybe, on Santino. Now that I've had a little bit of time to think about it, he has a 60. Maybe he shouldn't get that high.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I think the most interesting one, if we end up doing it in a few years, is if we ever decide to go back and kind of do the Roman Reigns one where it's Roman Reigns then, Roman Reigns now, see if there's a difference between the two. I think stuff like that would be interesting.
We'll definitely have to redo some of these in the future. And for all we know, Ryback in a week could end up being, well, there goes that 70 score. He's now a 59 or something like that if he ends up really screwing something over. But go ahead, leave your comments below, everybody. Tell us what your ranking is. If you are around the 70 range that we are, maybe you're a little higher, maybe you're a little lower. Maybe you're like a diehard Ryback fan and he's got a 98. Maybe you fucking hate him and he's like a 4. Who knows? Leave those comments and those rankings below because we've got one more thing left to talk about for this episode, which is the Fantasy League in Part 5. Welcome back from our main event, everybody, in Part 4. We are in Part 5, and surprise, surprise, Mike Payton woke up, so he's going to be joining us for the Fantasy League.
What?
Yeah. Damn it, why'd you yawn? I just had to yawn. So all the confusion that I'm gonna go on again. What the
I was just joking with you that time.
All the confusion that I thought I was gonna have ahead of time, he's gonna be able to clear this up and give us a breakdown of what the rankings are and so on and so forth. So, Peyton, new sessions going on. Where do we stand?
New session, new season, completely new
Yes.
teams, new coach, new team names. Everything has been refreshed for the WWE Fantasy League between us here at the Mega Powers Collective. And I know you all want to know how the first week went. Well, these are the scores as of payback. And of course, this is only one night, so you can't really use this as a reference of how things will really continue going. But very interesting that the person who won last year and had the first pick overall this year, Steven Wago, and his team, AJ Styazu, all the way down in last place with negative 12 points.
Clearly,
Had
he's
a
losing the whole entire tournament.
hit. Well, we could probably think of a good name for him then. A little ahead of him in fourth place, Tony Mango's Tony's Trikes with 17 points. Kaylin Ferris's Brian's Beefy Buddies right in third place with 33 points, right in the middle there. And hey, this is appropriate. Drew White's fucking shitheaded Twosers are fucking shitheaded Twosing in second place with 41 points. And my team, Payne's Penguins, starting off hot like we do. First place, 64 points. Thank you, Roman Reigns.
Miz got you a good chunk of points there too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, Miz is turning out not to be too bad, although I'm worried for him again with this next feud he's going into. But
So, I actually have a question. So since they restarted the championship match twice, did the first two not count?
no, because they're
Okay.
restarts. If they were counted as separate matches, which they've done it that way before, they would have counted, but those were counted as restarts, so it's the same match.
Man, you got lucky as fuck with that, and Wago got fucked.
Well, either way, he wouldn't have won the title, which is where the big bonus comes from.
Yeah, but he would have won two main event matches.
Yeah.
Or would you actually not classify that as a main event?
Well, I don't, there's no bonus for main event.
Oh, I thought that it was weighted.
It's weighted for pay-per-view. So there is a bonus for being on a pay-per-view.
Ah.
It's weighted more because it's for the, it was for
But
the
even
champion.
then, they would have been disqualification or count-out victories, which is half of a pinfall or submission. So it actually would have just been the same thing if he had got a TV pinfall victory.
Either way, he still wouldn't be negative 12.
No, he would not be negative 12, but I
He'd
still
be
don't
like
think he would
negative
have been
8.
caught up. And that's where the scores sit for now. We're going to see if anybody has any switches they want to do. And I can only imagine that due to recent events, that there is probably some people who wish to do that. Mr. Wago is technically first in line because he has the lowest score, although he's not here, but he did tell me a trade that he wanted to do. And I have to admit, I am a little surprised at this one, but he wants to trade out Enzo Amore.
Oh, he
Actually,
sent in the chat on in our chat that he's going to keep him at least until Extreme Rules, and if he doesn't come back, he'll drop him.
yeah, just a little bit before we got started recording, he put in the chat that he wants to keep him.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
So I guess Caitlyn can have him now.
Hold on. Maybe. Yes. I don't know who he wanted to trade off, though.
Caitlyn did send something that he wanted to do.
Yeah, but I don't remember for who.
He, well, is he's next, right? Or is it
Yeah.
me?
No, it's him.
Kaylin wanted to drop Jey Uso for Rusev.
Okay. So he'll be taking on Rusev in the place of Jay Useless. Okay. Tony, to you.
And I am not going to pick up Jey Uso.
Wait, no,
That's
I'm wrong. You're before Kale. I'm sorry, I'm a dummy.
well, I'm not going to switch around, I think, to Rusev anyway.
You don't?
Let me just double check real quick to see if there is anybody that I would have picked up. I don't think I'm gonna go with those guys. I don't think I'm gonna go with that guy. Can't go with that guy. Can't go with that guy. I haven't sorted out my list yet 100%. Should have
I
done
hear
that
you.
ahead
No,
of time. But
we're
you
all
know
getting
what?
started here.
I am gonna stay the same as I was.
All right, then we are going to go through with that trade. Rusev replacing Jey Uso on Brian's Beefy Buddies. Drew, anything for you?
Yes. Since Ryback is might get fired, I totally don't want him on the team, even though I kind of want him on the team still because he's the big guy. But I'm gonna drop him, and in his place, I'm gonna take a little risk. He's probably might not be back soon, but I'll keep him on for a couple of weeks at least. I'm going to pick up Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Not a bad choice. Definitely good to get rid of Ryback.
Yeah. While I am losing confidence in Baron Corbin, I really hope he doesn't end up being a regretful pick for me. I'm not going to lose him yet, but I'm just putting it out there. Baron Corbin's on watch. Because these first few weeks have been heinous. Guy fucking comes in, wins the Battle Royal, and now he's jobbing to Dolph Ziggler on a regular basis.
Well, to be fair, last year at Extreme Rules, he was facing up against Sheamus in that Kiss My Arse match. The match that Sheamus should have
Baron
won.
Baron Corbin?
No. I was equaling this to when Sheamus lost to Dolph Ziggler last year at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania.
So are you saying Baron Corbin's going to win the title this year?
Possibly. I think he's got a shot.
He's going to form a League of Nations.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But it's just going to be One Nation because he's the lone wolf.
Yeah.
League of Nation. All right, folks. So then that's all we got to report for you for this week. For all the latest news, standings, refresh yourself on the rules, head to WWEFantasyLeague.com.
And that'll take us into the plugs for this episode. Peyton, why don't you keep it going?
Yeah, since I just got here, I'll make them quick. MegaPowersRadio.com, Twitch.tv/MrPayton. I just got an awesome new computer, so you're going to be seeing lots of new games popping up on there, including WWE 2K16. And since I finally got this thing pieced together, I can put out the full teaser on this. There's going to be a big, big thing happening with WWE 2K16 that I'm going to be inviting all of you fans to be involved with. So be staying tuned for that.
He's going to get right back on the show. That's why he said me so much. Drew, your plugs.
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Drusev White. Go to McFrickin' Duncan on YouTube, where I may post something, haven't decided yet. And then, you know, you go to Steve Wago on Twitter, Steven Wago on YouTube. Go to his Twitch, which is, I believe, is Steve Wago, and go to his Tumblr page where he has all of his stuff he has posted on there. And then also go to the Mega Maniacs on Facebook.
Steve Wago. It just sounds off. For my side of the plugs, everybody go ahead and check out that Rest Hold if you haven't already. We've got some different things to let you be aware of when it comes to Fanboys Anonymous. That's coming up soon. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, May the 4th, we put up a couple new t-shirt designs. So if you're into Star Wars, then you know you might want to buy something about TR-Adar. And we've got Captain America Civil War coming up. And for a Smark Out moment, we have the first round of the WWE Sexiest Superstars Tournament coming up this weekend. Cast your votes now while you can, because those polls will end at some point on Thursday, most likely Thursday at midnight Eastern time. But that's it for episode number 232. Thank you all for listening, everybody. Hit that thumbs up button, subscribe if you haven't already, and leave those comments below. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out. 5, 2, You're still here? It's over. Go home.